one of the things, if you've been following along in the scripture, and we were going through that first chapter in the book of James, at the very end of that first chapter, James says, and he literally tells us, anybody who can't keep a tight rein on their tongue has a worthless religion. In fact, he closes out that chapter with three proofs of someone who is walking with God, is being obedient in God, and growing in God. And he basically says these three things. One is that, I can't talk today. One is that a person who has a controlled tongue. Another thing, step two is a person or a congregation that is doing a caring ministry to the needy, and that's why we do so many different things within our community. And the last step, he says, is someone who has personal holiness. And one of the things that strikes me when I use that word, for some of us, our eyes begin to glaze over, and we're not even sure what holiness looks like nowadays. And basically, holiness is just living a life that pleases God in the details of our lives. And so as I was looking through that list about having a controlled tongue and having ministries that deal with helping needy people, that's one of the reasons why we do His Work His Way and the seniors ministry, and we're getting in care, getting involved in foster care opportunities, and many of our church members do meals for neighbor to neighbor, and we've been doing Mission 119 and studying the Word of God, so we begin to know what personal holiness looks like. But what is most interesting to me is that the scripture says that all of those things literally hinge on our tongues. And so I want to ask you just for a few moments, how important are your words? And when it was the last time you noticed what was coming out of your mouth and how you were saying it? And in fact, I want to just show you the importance of words. How many of you have ever seen the shirt that says this, "Let's eat grandma"? You seen that one? It's a picture. It says, "Let's eat grandma." And then the very bottom, it says, "Commas are important," because you can say, "Let's eat grandma, comma," or we can say, "Let's eat grandma." Which makes more sense? Words are important. How we say them is important. Grammar is important. And so today we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapters 10, 11, and 18, probably a little bit more, but I just want to read you those scriptures this morning. It says, "The mouth of a righteous person is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning," Proverbs 10:13. "Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin," Proverbs 10:14. "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise," Proverbs 10:19. The tongue of a righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value," Proverbs 10:20. "The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment," Proverbs 10:21. Are you memorizing all these? "The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse," Proverbs 10:32. "The man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but the man of understanding holds his tongue," Proverbs 11:2. "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing," Proverbs 12:18. And one of the most amazing verses in the book of Proverbs says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and to those who love it will eat its fruit," Proverbs 18:21. And there are many other verses that I could be talking about today. And you can look in the back of your Bible and just look up lips or words or mouth in the Bible, your concordance in the very back, and it'll give you scripture after scripture after scripture. But who would imagine that something that weighs 60 to 70 grams of muscle could reap destruction or joy? It can bring life or death. It can bring hurt or healing. And the question for us is, which do we bring into our lives? Which do we bring into our homes? Which do we bring into our relationships and marriages? Which do we bring into raising our kids up? Which do we bring into our jobs? Or even, which do we bring into our churches? There's an old saying that says that the proof is in the pudding, and it has some truth, but really what comes out of our mouths, that really points to what's going on in our hearts and how our relationship with Christ is going. But notice this. I don't know about you, but I was raised in a very conservative Christian family. I was telling the first service, I can remember one of the first times I got in trouble because of the words that I had used. And at least when I was growing up, when we talked about our lips and talked about our words, basically there were four or five different swear words that as Christians and as good people, you never ever, ever used. And so, and I'm not going to tell you what those words are, but it still makes a difference. But I can remember I was sitting, we were having dinner together, and it was probably a Thursday or Friday, and I was sitting there, and I said, geez, G-E-E-S. And everyone at the table completely stopped. And I just kept doing what I do. I was a little older kid, and I kept eating, and then I looked up, and they were all looking at me. And I just sort of looked around, and I got yelled at for using a bad word. In my home, geez was a bad word, and I can remember having the conversation later in the kitchen because I couldn't figure out why that was a bad word, and my parents came and explained to me because geez, G-E-E-S, if I thought about it, sounded a lot like Jesus, and so I got in trouble for swearing. I had never even thought that was a swear word, but that was like the sixth one you weren't allowed to say in my home. And honestly, I did spend some time eating soap every so often to teach me not to say those bad words. But one of the things that strikes me here is that you noticed none of these scriptures deal with those bad words. It goes past that. It goes and deals with intent and sarcasm and withholding praise and being silent when the truth is needed. It's just not about the words that you say, but how you say them. So I want to ask you some questions. How do you use your words? If I were to go home today and get into your house, and I know a lot of you have Alexa and you talk to her all the time, and I know a good deal of you who have smart TVs, and do you realize they literally record everything that you say? You don't know that. Literally, there was a police case that a guy killed his wife, and they actually, Alexa recorded the whole thing. He's in jail now because of it. So just imagine if I got your smart TV and I got your Alexa and I replayed this last 3 or 4 weeks' conversations. What do you think we would hear? And what would it tell you about what your attitude was as you spoke? See, words make an amazing difference in people's lives. And literally, they can bring life and death. And even this last week, I was watching the news, and they were interviewing this group of coaches that do positive coaching. Have you heard of this group? See, when I thought about that, I remember all my coaches, and words wasn't really an issue because we got called a whole lot of stuff. But one of the things that this positive coaching group does, they have one game a day or year. It's called the 100-yard day. Can you imagine that? And literally what it is, for that one game, the parents are not allowed to be closer than 100 yards away from the field. And they interviewed all of the kids, and that is the best game of the season. You know why? Because they don't have to listen to their parents' words and condemnation and look at their faces when they make a mistake. It can be a dangerous thing, apparently. So what comes out of your mouth? In all seriousness, what comes out of your mouth? Do your words bring life and hope and clarity? Do your words bring understanding and encouragement? Does your words speak truth in a way that people can hear and understand? Is it healing? Is it wise counsel? Is it discipline when it's needed? When you're speaking to normal people, but does it lift them up or tear them down? Or do your words bring hurt and shame and anger and condemnation and hate and heartache and gossip and confusion and upsetness and division? It's interesting to me that the scripture says if you run into a divisive person within the body of Christ, it literally says, deal with it once, and if they do it again, let them go. That's how serious our words need to be before us. In fact, James 4:10 even says something more amazing than that. It literally says that you and I, as followers of Christ, are not to speak evil against anybody in the body of Christ. And what struck me was, because that's sort of old language, it literally means that we are not to speak anything negative against someone in the body of Christ, even if it's true. And so this week I was sort of judging and listening and figuring out within my own heart, how many of you realize that most of the times we talk about people, it's in a negative sense? I know none of you would ever do that. But isn't that, I mean, if when you come home and your wife asks you or the other way around, how was your day? How many of you, it was great, it was awesome, it was good, it was wonderful, it was delicious, it was just the way it should have been. How many of you did that this week? Or how many of you told them what all the problems were. Isn't that what we normally do? We focus on what's worse instead of what's good. But Scripture says there's a high cost to idle chatter. But it also says when you and I learn to speak with joy in giving an apt reply, it literally changes people's hearts and minds and lives. Have you ever experienced that before? So how do we deal with what comes out of our mouths? How do we speak truth into people's lives? How do we learn to change what comes out of our mouths on a regular basis? And we're going to get sort of really practical right now, because I could tell you from now on, just don't say any bad words and watch everything that comes out of your mouth and just do the right thing. And that could be a little bit helpful, but it's not the best way of dealing with it. Though the first step, I really do believe, is that we have to notice what we say and how we say it, and we need to begin to recognize and look at people's faces when we say things. It's a simple thing. So the first thing, if we're going to deal with what comes out of our mouths, we have to notice what we're saying. And let me expand a little bit farther than that. We need to figure out why we text and what we text, and we need to watch and notice what's going on there, and then we need to stop and look and see what's going on in Facebook. I don't know about you, but how many of you have run into trouble because you're texting? Only one person. How many of you know when you're texting how the other person is going to respond to it? Have you ever met someone that texts in all capital letters? What does that mean if you find somebody that has all capital letters? They're mad or they're happy, and you're supposed to judge what it is. What if you began to stop and wonder and think through what just came out of my mouth? If you've been using your mouth in a sinful way, the Scripture says we're to be a people that confess it and repent it to the Lord, even if it's unintentional. So the first step is to notice what's coming out of your mouth. The second step is when you know you're using your mouth in a sinful way, when it's not being encouraging, when it's hurtful, when it's angry, when it's sort of abusive, deal with it. Bring it before God. Lord, forgive me for what has come out of my mouth. That's the second step. The third step, if we're going to be people that are effective with our words, we need to yield ourselves to God and literally surrender our tongues and our minds into His hands. When I was growing up in church as a kid, they used to say that we were to be a people that consecrate ourselves into Christ fully, every jot and tittle of our hearts and minds and lives. So how does that affect our mouths when you come before God and say, Lord, I want to give you my tongue here. I want to surrender my mind to you. I want you to take control of all the details of my life, and I especially would ask that you would guard my lips. See, that's what the Proverbs is talking about. That's what James is talking about in this passage of Scripture, that as followers of Christ, we're to be careful about what comes out of our mouths, and we're to be a people that submit ourselves and consecrate our lips into God's kingdom. One of the things I'll challenge you to do is that do you ever stop and just say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, that daily prayer. Lord, will you watch over what comes out of my mouth? Will you enable me to notice how I'm saying it? Would you allow me to recognize the faces that I'm talking to? So if they look sad or upset or angry, I'll deal with it right away. How many of you have taken the time to say, Lord, bring me up short when I say some foolish or harsh or hard things? Lord, bring it to my attention in a very tangible way. And I challenge you just to follow those four steps where you notice what's coming out of your mouth, you repent and ask God to forgive you when you're using your mouth in a sinful manner, that you would yield yourself up and say, Lord, I guard my lips, I surrender my tongue to you. I mean, there have literally been times when I've actually touched my tongue and say, Lord, this is what gets me in trouble. Would you control it? And He loves to do things like that. The fifth step, I would challenge you to find someone to be accountable with. And that may sound a little bit odd, but how many of you have one friend that you could literally come and say, would you notice what I say and how I say it, and would you bring me up short if it's done in a rude way or a harsh way or an unintentional way? Would you be the one that speaks to me? See, I think we need that accountability, and I think we're losing that in so many different areas in our lives because do you guys have accountability? Do you have friendships that are that way? I see one hand. We need to work on 99% of the rest of you getting a couple of those. But one of the things that oftentimes we set up these accountability things, like I will say to you, will you watch what I say this week? And you're going to go, what are you going to do? You're going to smile at me and say, why is he picking on me? You're going to say, yeah, I'll do that. And that's an easy thing to do. But what happens oftentimes is we don't really give permission for that actually take place. I mean, the person that says, yes, I'll keep you accountable, but you need to let them say, no, really, I give you permission to call me up short on this. I won't get angry at you. I won't get upset with you, but I need someone that will monitor what's coming out of my lips on a regular basis. Can you be accountable with what comes out of your mouth? Would you let someone step in and encourage you in that area? See, because God literally says, I want my people to surrender themselves to me fully. I want to use their language to bless and encourage and deal with truth in real ways. What if we began to be a people that live like that? What if we began to be the people that brought life to every conversation and not death? What if we are the people that brought healing into brokenness and harm because we've learned how to communicate well? And when we mess up and say the wrong things, that we're the first to confess it and even ask the forgiveness from our not only the Lord, but to one another. Do you think it would change the world in which we live in? Will you take some time this week and just surrender that area of your life fully into God's hands and let God work and change you and transform you so that we might be the people that James was talking about? That we would have a mouth that brings joy, that we would be involved in ministries that reach the needy, that we would have a personal holiness that people notice. Because that's what God longs for us. Let me end with just some of Jesus' simple words to it. And the scripture says this, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So as you and I decide to watch what comes out of our mouths, we can expect God's blessing to come into our lives. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day and this time, and we've gone through this scripture quickly today. I can confess that to you. But Lord, honestly, and a lot really doesn't have to be said, we know what comes out of our mouths. And Lord, we confess oftentimes we don't allow it to be something that brings life into a situation. We allow it to be something that brings harm and hurt and death. And you have said that if we're going to be a people that display you well, we need to be a people that learn how to speak in a way that brings joy and brings peace and brings hope and brings truth in difficult situations. And Lord, for too long we've been worried about just simply the bad words that we're not supposed to say, and we haven't looked at the intent and how we say all of those things. So would you change us and transform us? Would you speak to our hearts this morning? Would you give us relationships that are honest enough to deal with the tough stuff and call us up short? But Lord, would you change us? This morning, we would surrender our tongues to you and ask that you would use them for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This morning, we are also doing something special, and I'm going to ask Pastor Dean to come up, and we're going to celebrate our seniors this morning.
So, can I have all of the seniors that are here, high school seniors that have graduated just this past year, please come up here and see me. I think there's four of you guys. Louisa, that includes you. So these are the guys that graduated different schools this year. I'll get it out eventually. Different schools from us. Come on, come closer. Come closer, Grace. I'm not that scary. I just want to give you a brief introduction to them introduction to you, and then give you just a little brief summary about what their plans are for the future. And at the end, I'm going to pray a blessing over them. And I'm going to ask all you guys actually to stand at the back by Pastor Nathan so everybody can kind of give you like a high five or something as they leave. Okay, good. So this is Grace O'Malley. She graduated from Greenville High School, and she's going to go to Pitt, and she's studying Spanish. She's probably going to be one of our next UN translators, is my guess. So, and then next we have Bailey. Bailey graduated from Keystone, and his plans are probably going into the military. That's still it, which is pretty awesome. And this is Izzy. Izzy Aliyev. She's an amazing person. She's going to Edinburgh and is going to be studying math. She wants to be a math teacher. And it's pretty funny because I sub, and one day I had her in class, and she said, "I hate school." And I said, "But..." I was like, "But you're going to be a math teacher. What are you doing? And she just said, "Oh." So, last, we have Louisa Micheline Espilosim. Oh, yeah, I got it right. Yeah. She is going to a university in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, and she's going to become a surgeon. Is that her? So you can call her Dr. Espilosim. So I've been doing that for the last month and at home. So anyway, so I have a gift for them guys, for you guys from the church. It's a book. It's called Adulting 101, okay, which all of you need. Actually, I read this, and I wish I would have had this when I was their age. It's pretty amazing. So I have this for each one of you guys, and also a little key ring as well. So let me pray a blessing over you guys, then I'll have you guys go back to the thing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these students. And Lord, as some of them are moving on to more schooling and in the military, Lord, will you continue to minister to them? Will you continue to chase after them? Lord, and may they seek you. May they seek your goodness. May they seek your kindness. May they seek your grace. Lord, and may you pour out your blessings upon them every single day. And Lord, as they face the different challenges of life and of college and of just adulting, Lord, will you give them encouragement? Will you surround them with others who have the same values as they have, who are seeking after you and chasing after you and longing to obey what is in your word. So Lord, I thank you for them, and Lord, again, just encourage them every single day. That's the way. Amen.
Can we clap?
Yeah.